Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to YDUQS' video conference to discuss the results for the fourth quarter of 2022. This video conference is being recorded, and the replay will be available at the company's website at www.yduqs.com.br. The presentation will also be available for download. We would like to inform you that all attendees will only be watching the video conference during the presentation, and then we'll start the question and answer section when further instructions will be provided. Before proceeding, we'd like to clarify that any statement that may be made during this conference call regarding the company business prospects, operational and financial projections and goals are the beliefs and assumptions of YDUQS' executive board and current information available to the company. These statements may involve risks and uncertainties as they relate to future events and therefore depends on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should be aware of events related to the macroeconomic scenario, the industry, and other factors that could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. Present at this video conference, we have Mr. Eduardo Parente, CEO of YDUQS, and Mr. Rossano Marques Leandro, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. I would like to hand the floor over to Mr. Eduardo Parente, who will begin the presentation. Please, Mr. Eduardo, you may proceed.
Thank you, Aldir. Thank you all for attending this English version of our conference. I saw many new names here attending, and just to clarify why we do this, got a lot of feedback from foreign investors that not only is hard to follow, but sometimes translation is not the best. So they prefer to hear directly from us. And I think this is good practice. This will be recorded on our website as well. So if you want to refer to it later, it's going to be over there. It's exactly the same presentation we do in Portuguese. I think the only difference that we get ton of questions from mostly sell-side analysts on the Portuguese version. They were actually good questions today, which we generally, in the English version, we don't get many or any questions at all, okay? So having said that, I hope you all well. Thank you very much for attending. 2022 was a year that we were pretty satisfied with. Of course, we wanted more. But considering the tough macro environment we had in our country, I think we got to pretty good numbers. I think we chose on this page here four highlights to show you. And I'm going to go through each one of them, but summarizing them all, number one is discipline in prices and costs. We are well known for our discipline in costs. I think in prices is something that we've done a lot of work for the past 15 months on this, and results are showing all over this presentation. Number two is a portfolio that we have that generated an important growth in terms of absolute margins, but in terms of a percentage margins as well in EBITDA. The reason we mentioned the portfolio here is because we have two businesses that are very much related to classes C and D. These businesses had a year that did not show growth. And we, on the other hand, have a business, as Rossano will show you in a little while, that we have a business on premium side, surface classes A and B, that has been growing very fast on the past 5-6 years. And in these dire moments of the economy, represent good balance to a portfolio. And I think that in hopefully 1 or 2 years' time, we're going to be talking a lot about distance learning and on site, because these are the businesses that grow when economies grow in Brazil, grows very fast. So we have a portfolio that in this moment is able to generate growth and margins, and in a moment with a better economy, shall generate much more growth than we see recently. Okay. The third point is cash generation. And I think that we have a free cash flow after capex of R$500 million. That's almost two highs per outstanding share. It's an important growth of twofold versus last year. And the fourth highlight here is the fact that we do not have any debt expiring in 2023 anymore, which with this whole Americanas thing, Laza, you know, generated a market that's very tough for people who need debt, and we will only be having this discussion towards 2024. So this is a relief for us. So going step by step here on the on the upper hand side, left hand side of this page, we talk about tickets over 1 year of the veterans. I would say that the non-freshmen. And the reason for that is that's the real show of trend. When you look into the average ticket itself, there's a lot of discounts on the first semester that we give. There's, you know, some financial products that we give in the first semester as well, and the higher intakes and smaller intakes and adherence to these products that tends to give us a very distorted view of pricing when you look into one semester, or when it includes the freshmen, the upcoming class, and in the analysis of pricing. Okay. When we look into the average ticket of people that have been with us after all these discounts, which 100% of people of more than 1 year have, that is a much better indicator of trend. And in these indicators, we are here 8% above last year in medicine, 10% above in digital, and on campus 5% in IBMEC, could have been here as well, 7% above last year. So these numbers are at or above our last 12 months inflation, and we're satisfied with the direction this is going. And this is a huge effort that we've been making because, you know, 2020 and 2021 were years on the pandemic that we were very concerned about our operational leverage. We gave a lot of discounts those years. And that's, of course, hitting our base. When we come back in the last 15 months or so into looking not only to the entrance prices of the first semester with all the discounts, but also the medium-term prices, what we call the M7. Seventh month M7, we're not so creative with the number, but with the names. But when we look into M7, those numbers are coming up as well, which will generate, and we have all these analysis per cohorts here, will generate a very positive effect of the upcoming years with the people from the pandemic graduating with lower tickets and these incoming classes coming in with much higher tickets for the future. Okay, so this is somewhat new. We've been very vocal about it since the third quarter. We much rather talk about things when they have already happened than be generating fireworks or promises here. On the other side of this box here, we talk about the cost. This is not new. We are well known for our discipline costs. Having had the same cost base 2 years in a row with the inflations and all the salary increases and so forth is something we take pride in. And of course, when we look into the percentage of net operating revenues, that number has gone down. Going to the top right-hand side of this page, what we see is a growth in terms of EBITDA in the year of 9%, 122 million highs increase, 2 percentage points, increase in the margin. That can be a lot credited to the change in mix that we have in our portfolio. So we have premium and digital with higher margins than our average, and on campus with lower margins than our average. So the high growth business are also the higher margin business, which tends to push the average upwards. Okay. On the right hand side of this, we talk about the fourth quarter. We mentioned on the second quarter, we mentioned the results. We mentioned that the third quarter results will be a little bit below the previous year. They came a little bit above. Now we mentioned that the fourth quarter result will be double digits versus fourth quarter 21, and we had a 19%. So we're delivering on the guidance that we gave here. And you're going to see a lot of that throughout the presentation, us talking about guidances that we've been giving. And sorry, I like to take credit that when things are bad or when perspectives are bad. We say things and perspectives are bad. And now we're going to tell you throughout the whole presentation that our perspective is good. And I hope that in 3 months down the road, you call me on that. Okay. On the bottom of the page, I already mentioned this, $1 billion in cash generation pre-CapEx, which is a 12 percentage points increase in conversion versus last year. And I think probably the most important number in all this presentation is the free cash flow conversion, the free cash flow after CapEx, generating it, as I said before, almost $2 per share on the year. Okay. On the left-hand side, the highlight of the year, of course, operations-wise, was medicine. And when we look into medicine, we started the year saying that we would, you know, be above 7.2 thousand students. We narrowed this guidance towards the end of the year, and then we fulfilled both guidances on 7.5 thousand students in 2022. We are telling you now that we're going to be above 8 thousand students and by the end of the year. One thing that's very important, especially for the people that are new to us, we have a young student base of 4.9 students per seat. What does that mean is that, you know, medicine is 6 years. We have some extra students on the government financing program. So a mature, fully mature course has seven students per seat. We have some of those, but we have courses that have 2 students per seat because that basically means that they're in the second year. Right. So between 4.9 and 7 is a 40% growth that depends only on people showing up at our door. So people coming into the class and nobody's graduating. So that does not depend on any additional seats, on any authorization from the government. So that growth is already contracted in the base. On top of that, we expect 100 to 160 new medical seats based on the MICE Magicals program that we had. And these programs are maturing, and the natural path for those already foreseen in the regulation is if you fulfill your targets with the governments, and we are fulfilling our targets with the governments, you get additional seats, and this is the number that we expect for this year. Okay. Moving on to page 4, what we see is a premium. Premium is you know, it was extremely important for us in the year. A lot of resilience in classes A and B. We're talking tickets here of roughly 10,000 hives per month in medicine and above 3,000 in businesses and so forth, which is a completely different reality of everything else that we do. We had a growth of 26% on the revenue of the year. Important thing is Ibermec. We are having important advancement in the mix, meaning that we are growing a lot in São Paulo, and not so much in the other places. In São Paulo, we charge tickets around 5,000 reais, and that's pulling our average up. That, you know, results in an increase of revenues above the increase that we have on student base. In terms of EBITDA, what we see here, the EBITDA in the quarters, you should not hang in too much on that, neither on the negative or in the positive, like I'll show you on the next page. This is pretty much when you shrink, you know, when you're analyzing a business that's smaller than the total. Well, you know, some bills show up a little later in the quarter, or you have some particular effects. So what I invite you to look at is the average margin for the year, which is this 46 to 47 that we see here, 1 percentage point increase versus 2021, which is, of course, great news. We don't expect much changes in that. We got a question on the in the previous session about operational leverage as we mature the courses. Should we expect higher margins here? We don't. We expect for 2023, this 47% plus or minus one here, depending on how the year goes. Okay, so this is valid for all our business. We don't expect margin changes for 2023 on any one of our business, or 23 or 24. Just on the on-site, and I'll talk to you a little bit about this, if we have some good news coming from one or three levers that I mentioned to you, then we can have an increase there, but we don't see that. And we don't forecast those, at least in our forecast. You know, we look into margins roughly the same as this year for all the businesses we have. Just a little picture of that. You know, some of you might have a branch in Faria Lima. We just opened a second unit of Ibermec. It's in Faria Lima. it's going really, really well. We fulfill all the seats that we had for the first classes, which is about a little less than 200 students. And this is working really well for us because we could not fit more people in the building that we had in the Paulista. So we have this new unit, it's going really well. And we have, you know, this growth of 16% of revenues in Bemag, it's very good news, and we expect more good news to come in 2003 and so on. Okay. Moving on to page 5, talking about distance learning. This was, you know, some of you who follow us closely, we mentioned on the third quarter the effect that, you know, we had some seasonality effects here because we had some changes in the reference base of the previous year. The previous year, we had a very small intake on the first quarter and a huge intake on the second quarter. That affects, you know, the comparison basis for 2022. So we mentioned that as one thing. And the other thing, we had a year in which we did not see a lot of price elasticity. We do every day here tests of trying different prices here. And of course, all we care about is lifetime value. So when we see that the amount of discount that you have to give in order to attract new people is not good for lifetime value, we just cancel that off. And pretty much that was the situation last year, right? So we much rather give price increases. And you see on the bottom right-hand side of this page, the price increasing way above inflation. This is not how we see long-term playing. We see long-term, you know, medium-term have been always wrong. Prices have been falling at or above inflation because the market is still growing, and we see this market growing for quite some time. But of course, in the long run, when we have the amount of margins that we have, the operational leverage that we have, it's not what we see. But long run is long run, 3 years, 4 years. So what we see short run is, and that what we see with us and the competition in the past years, is this price is being at least following inflation here. So the way we see here, important when we had in the third quarter, you know, because this comparison basis, a number that was shrinking versus last year, I mentioned, don't worry, fourth quarter is gonna be high teens versus fourth quarter last year. And because of the pricing system that we pushed so hard, we had actually better than high teens. We had 23% increase on the EBITDA for the fourth quarter. Again, like I said on the previous chart, you have an increase of 32 to 37% here. It means nothing. What we need to look at is the 39 to 39 that we have on the bottom of the page. Again, is bad comps, fluctuation on how we account bad debt over the year. So things change between one quarter to the other. But the important is that when we see last 12 months, we see this 39%, and we don't see important changes for the upcoming years on this, right? On one hand, when we look into distance learning, on one hand, we have great operational leverage. On the other hand, we have more growth coming from outsourced partners instead of our own units, which increases the amount of commission that I have to pay. On the other hand, we see prices on the long term going down. So we don't see many changes to this 39% margins in anywhere that we can see in our spreadsheets, not short, not medium, not long term. Okay. Of course, that can change, but that's what we see today. On this renewal on the right-hand side of the page, also don't get excited. When we said on the third quarter that number was much worse, that's because the comps of the low intake on the first quarter of 21 and the high intake in the second quarter of 21. So the quote-unquote bad students that tend to drop out a lot, they are in the comparison base that we have in the fourth quarter, unlike a normal year. So what it matters that our average numbers are going up, not by much, but the average numbers are going up. The way we see 2023 on digital learning is a year much more similar to what we had 19 and 20, base growing a lot, double digits here, and prices not so much. Okay, so 2022, maybe because of elections. 2018 was a bad year as well. Maybe because, you know, it's a lot of growth coming in during the pandemic on distance learning, but 2022 was a non-typical year. And I think that we're very fortunate that we were able to see that and not yield on price versus a base that, you know, would not compensate for the losses that we would have. The way we see 2023 is an important evolution in terms of base versus what we have today, intake and base. Okay. Moving on to page six. What we see on page six, you know, if you take the quarters here and you show this side to side on the third quarter, they look very similar. We see this page, of course, as negative because there's a lot of minuses here, but there's with an overall positive message that people who've been following us see that our base has been dropping since the end of the government financing on double digits always, and we had always prices dropping. What we see here is a base falling by low single digit and prices going up. So we see this, I'm not so sure if this is a word in English, but we see this as an asymptote. Anybody knows this is a word in English? Well, people believe so here. It's not a curve that's, you know, flattening out and stop shrinking. You know, in preparing for some time to resume growth, we are ready for that. We had reduced a lot of our base, the campi base. So we had 120 campi, we have 87 now. So we're not so much concerned with the operational leverage of the base now, that allows us to be more courageous in terms of pricing. And of course, this one percentage point here of 19 to 20, this is something, of course, we celebrated inside a lot. We see this as part of this asymptote move. And the renewal of 84% is also a great number because we had an amazing intake season for the on-site in 22.1 1 year ago. So we have a lot of freshmen in our base, and freshmen tend to drop out much more than what we saw, that the veterans and not freshmen. And then remaining with the same renewal rate, this is very important for us. And again, I think this speaks a lot to the quality of the people that we're bringing in when we charge higher prices. Somebody checked on ChatGPT, if this is a word in English? No. Well, my team is slow here.
Better check here. Asymptote.
Asymptote, excess. Okay, great. So, Hosanov, handing over to you.
Thanks, Eduardo. Good morning, everybody. So, guys, 2022 brings us, shows us that the revenue share of most profitable businesses is still increasing. That asserts our margin expansion potential and also the strength of our portfolio once again. On this quarter, we highlight the expansion of our premium business that keeps showing strong results and continuous growth with 26% growth year over year, but also premium digital already accounting for 55% of our total revenue, and in the quarter, 52% full year. In addition, in this slide, we bring a new perspective with a longer term view of our revenues. We demonstrate 104% growth from 2017 when we isolate the government-backed financing. That runs through COVID outbreak, negative macro in the country, and several challenges we have had to surpass along the years, right? You can see that the old FIES now represents an irrelevant part of our business, with digital and premium businesses compensating the lost revenue of that segment, right? Going on for the next slide. So on a challenging macro, as previously said, with increasing pressure on our cost base, with high inflation and on-campus full operation taking place now, once again, we demonstrate our focus and discipline with expenditure growing well below inflation. So excluding bad debt, our costs were really were stable against an inflation that was above 6% over an already very stressed cost base after years of hard negotiations. As expected, the bad debt has been negatively impacted in 2022 by the quarterly intake of digital that began the previous year. But its impact of revenue has been compensated by a few factors. One, the higher renewal rate, the lower the delinquency rates and better collection performance along the year, and also the positive effect of the collection negotiations that we have pursued on the medicine students that had previously been benefited by the COVID regulation. Marketing and sales operating on a more efficient level. We have reached our guidance of staying below previous year level of expenditure. We were that was supported by high investments that we have made in the technology platforms and also by our very strong brands. The leasing costs this year are still under control after a meticulous space negotiation, reducing the area we have previously occupied. We have reduced 20,000 square meters in the previous year. Even with high inflation pressures, we have been able to renegotiate contracts, reducing our leasing costs. Going on, that leads us to an EBITDA growth of 19% on the quarter. That reached our guidance of expanding over two digits compared to fourth quarter 2021 with a relevant margin expansion of 4 percentage points in the quarter. With that, we highlight the digital and on-site margin expansion, even without the operational leverage of a potential growth that we could have. Both businesses are benefiting from a conservative price policy and also an efficient expenses management. When we look into the year, the full year EBITDA is growing 9% year over year, presenting a margin expansion of 2 percentage points. We're now reaching 32% of revenues in the year. As previously highlighted, on a year that presents a very challenging macroeconomic scenario, we showcase the strength of our portfolio and also of our strategy. On campus and premium, presenting margin expansions year over year, which is a result of our consistent price strategy and also the cost management initiatives that we have highlighted before. When you look into net profits, of course, they have been heavily impacted during the year by the deterioration of the financial results. That is due to the increase of the base interest rates of the country, and that brings an additional impact of 237 million a year. That reduces our adjusted net income to 139 million in the year, which is once again, as we said, basically impacted by the financial results, despite our very positive operational results along the year. Going on, talking about free cash flow, we bring another quarter of a robust free cash flow generation. That's bringing the year to a result of 500 million operating cash flow generation with a strong conversion from EBITDA. We believe that cash generation capacity is key and a very key differentiation for our business on a year that probably brings an uncertainty in the macro scenario and also a tightening in the credit scenario. We would like to also highlight our DSO that is reducing in the quarter to 95 days at the end of the period, demonstrating the health of our accounts receivable and also our collection process. We delivered CapEx below our guidance that was being below 500 million. That represents a 10% year-over-year decrease. We believe that movement validates our consistent reduction curve from the peak of we have made in 2021. But we do that maintaining a high concentration in digital transformation in IT, preserving our long-term strategy. For 2023, we give a guidance of 450 million, an additional reduction of about 8% of the CapEx we have delivered in 2022. And we maintain the long-term guidance of 7 to 8% of revenues. As we mentioned in the last call, the success of our investment strategy in the previous years can be verified by the strength of our portfolio, the robust growth in NPS, and also the excellent results we have had in the NADI, and keeping a very high student renewal performance. Having said that, I get back to Eduardo, which he will guide us through the ESG, our ESG strategy and also the ESG results in 2022. I'm sorry, we still I'm sorry, we still have two slides discussing very important ones indeed, showing our cash position and net debt position. In 2023, you have no more debt maturities along the year, giving us the serenity to navigate a potentially very tight credit market throughout the year. In February, we made our only debt amortization instrument that was due in the year in the amount of 175 million reais. In 2022, we closed the year with a very comfortable cash position of 1.2 billion reais and a net debt of 2.9 billion. Considering our year's results, we reached a leverage ratio of 1.96 times adjusted EBITDA, which is well below any of our covenant limits. Going on, and during 2022, we carried out some maturity extension operations with the additional reduction of our spread. We thus ended the year with the maintenance of an average maturity of 30 months and a spread of 1.91% above CDI. That was against the 2.17 mark at the end of 2021. We highlight two subsequent events. One is the issue of a 4131 instrument of 420 million reais at the cost of CDI plus 1.25%. That in practice is an extension of the operation we set on in December that was due this year. And with this new operation, we extended that two additional years, completing a three-year period of the debt. February, as we mentioned before, we had the amortization of 170 million reais, referring to the first installment of our debenture 5. That leaves the year 2023 without any further maturity due, as previously mentioned. Now we really get back to Eduardo that will talk about our ESG strategy.
Thank you, Osano. Guys, we've been always a reference in terms of social work and governance. But I think that in 2022, we had a major step towards adjusting the way we communicate and some practice in the market. We had our risk management matrix, the ESG risk management matrix validated. We included ESG targets for all the leadership. We had our second exclusive class for Black trainees. The first was a major success. One of our trainees in the first class was elected the best trainee of all Advent portfolio in Brazil in a competition that's it's very fun and very interesting, but very tough. We took a lot of pride in the result that Gabriel had there. And the second class is coming even better. We had 6,000 applicants, and unfortunately, we could hire only 11. But it's pretty much a success and a reference in Brazil. This program, I think that when you look at the numbers, if you have the curiosity to follow, we have lots of diversity in all the levels that of our company and of our student base. Speaking about it and talking about it and having a huge diversity and inclusion program, it's been great for us. Okay. On top of that, on the bottom left hand side here of the page, we advanced on the carbon ratings, which is an important step to get into ISE. And we were reviewed by MSCI again, and the rating of A was maintained, which is a result that very few companies in Brazil have, and certainly none in the education sector. We take a lot of pride in that. Our sustainability report is on the GRI standard for some time now, but now we advanced on the integrated report. We're bringing PwC as the external assurance. We've included also the SASB indicators on that. And we had in the beginning of the year in April, this ESG forum that was, we had a very, very positive feedback on it. We had more than 1400 people attending. And we invite you to the second one that will happen on April 28th. It takes an hour and a half. It's going to be over the internet, so you can follow on your home. It's light, and I think it's very inspiring for people who invest in us. It's very inspiring for people who work with us. It's very inspiring for people, competitors. It's a reference in the market. So I strongly invite you to be there with us on April 28th at 3 p.m. I believe this is our time. So moving on to our final remarks, we had a good year of EBITDA and cash generation growth, despite the tough macroeconomic scenario and the challenging intake that we had because of the scenario. We had a important tickets for the non-freshman involvement, so all of them at or above inflation. Our costs and expenses stable versus the last year, and of course falling versus as a percentage of the total revenues. EBITDA growing versus last year, not only in absolute terms, but also in the margins that we have. I think this is very important. And I think that we've reached a new level that's closer to where we should have been than the 30 that we had before. Billion highs in cash before CapEx, 500 million highs after CapEx, more than twice what we had last year, and a major advancement in ESG themes. The way we've seen this year, as I mentioned before, some of these new medical seats growing, medicine student base going above 8,000 students, the intake coming really, really strong for premium digital, increased by two digits versus last year. On campus, we have a very strong reference last year. We had a very big intake compared to ourselves and to the market. So the reference base is challenging. So we don't expect to reach last year, but we are sure to be better than the year before that. Yeah. Average ticket, and then we're talking about the whole ticket, the net revenue of a student base. Then that all units growing by one digit versus last year. And as a result of that, we expect a double-digit growth in terms of adjusted EBITDA. Reminding you, the last year we had a 400 million high EBITDA, which was a great number, second best that we had ever had. And the year before we had 324, if I'm not mistaken. So we're growing over a base that's already very strong, coming to what will certainly be the best EBITDA in a quarter for us in our history. In terms of CapEx, we came from 12 plus to 10-ish, 1.5 percentage point reduction. We had a few years that we had recovery on years that we had not spent, plus a major effort of digital transformation. They had a lot of things that you see, softwares and apps and so forth, but a lot of things you don't see on the back on hardware, then making sure that we have all the systems and equipment that supports the very technological business that we became. And then we've been saying for quite a while that we're going to reach 7 to 8% of net revenue in the future. We had last year 10-ish. We are pointing here a number that's 8% below last year with a revenue increase that we will likely have this year. We are one step further to get into the long-term guidance that we'll be giving you. That was what we had for today. I thank you very much for your attendance and your patience today, and also for your trust on the business. For those who are shareholders, will become shareholders soon. I'd like to take some credit for telling you, next quarter is going to be so great, or we're going to have some improvements. That's what we've been saying in the past. We're looking into a very good first quarter in 2023. Of course, it's March 16th, so I can't have a lot of confidence to say that. You know, a lot of numbers have been already accounted for. And this is it. So great year, good year last year, and a great quarter coming. And we're looking forward to better times, and having an optimistic view of the near and medium-term future. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Now, I would like to hand the floor back over to Mr. Eduardo Parente for the company final remarks. Please, Mr. Parente, you may proceed.
I think I've already done my final remarks, but all in all, guys, thank you. Looking forward to a great year ahead.
This does conclude YDUQS' conference call for the fourth quarter of 2022. We thank you for your participation and wish you a very good day.